Downing Street prepares to make public its Brexit plans for Northern Ireland and the customs union in the coming weeks. There are reports that Britain is prepared to pay around €40 billion as part of its so-called divorce bill with the EU. Let's speak to David Jones. He's a former Minister of State at the Department for Exiting the EU in London and also an MP for Clyde West. David Jones, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you make so far of the approach of your government to Brexit?
Well, I think that the approach has been correct. We had the referendum, of course, last year. As we know, there had been no preparation done for it beforehand, which is a matter I personally regret. But since then, the government has been doing the right thing. It's been scoping the entire British economy, which is a very large and complex economy. It's been analysing over 50 separate sectors, and it did that work before it actually triggered the Article 50 notice, which is the start of the process to take us out of the EU in March. So I think that the approach of the government has been absolutely correct and logical.
I called you a former Brexit minister. For those here who aren't familiar with you, can you tell me why you're no longer a Minister of State at that department?
Well, because I was subject to the reshuffle immediately after the general election, which was obviously a matter of regret. But I think that every politician understands that from the moment that he's appointed to an office, he's that much closer to being asked to leave. And that's what happened to me.
Am I right to say you were replaced by somebody who was on a different side of the Brexit argument to you?
No, he was on precisely the same side of the Brexit argument as me. So to that extent, the government's position wasn't changed.
How much do you believe that Britain should pay to leave the EU?
Well, that's a matter for discussion and negotiation. And, of course, at this particular point, we're still waiting to hear the arguments of the EU as to their calculation of the sum that they say is due. And once we've got that, we will consider it. It's not a question of plucking figures out of the air, but there have been a lot of figures that have been plucked out of the air. We've seen figures varying from €100 billion down to zero. And I would imagine that the correct figure is somewhere in between.
When you mention figures being plucked out of the air, one figure which those who campaigned to leave the EU were accused of plucking out of the air was the amount of money that was being spent by Britain as a contribution to the European Union in the region of £350 million a week, whereas we now learn, according to Treasury figures, that the payment was almost half that, or roughly €156 million a week.
Well, the figure, the headline figure that was used by the Vote Leave campaign during the referendum was the gross figure, and that, of course, is the sum that is sent to the EU before rebates and, of course, payments in such matters as subsidies, agricultural subsidies, structural funding is concerned, is paid back to the UK. But the fact is that the UK has got a commitment, or at least at that time had got a commitment of something in the region of £17 billion plus per annum, and that was the figure that was used during the campaign.
Was the figure of €350 million being spent on the EU, which could be better spent on the NHS, not widely used during the campaign, no?
Yes, it was, and of course that was an illustrative figure. I mean, the point is that...
Well, the actual figure was €156 million.
Well, that is the net figure. I mean, you have to take into account, for example, that there's almost €3 billion sent back to the UK for agricultural subsidy, but that's got to be spent the way that the EU tells the UK to spend it. And the view that the campaigners for Brexit took was that we'd be far better making our own decisions about such matters and as to how we'd like to spend it than being directed to do so by the EU. And of course, that was the argument that won the day.
The negotiations will begin again, the second round of talks with the EU shortly. And ahead of that, as I mentioned at the start, Downing Street is due to release its Brexit policy papers on the North and the Customs Union. What do you envisage the border between the EU and the UK to look like when this is all over?
Well, we want it to be as free-flowing and as frictionless as possible. And that takes into account two issues. One is the issue of freedom of movement of people between the UK and the Republic. That, of course, is the subject of a bilateral arrangement, the common travel area, and we don't see any changes to that. So certainly people from the Republic of Ireland will be free to continue moving to the United Kingdom and vice versa. The issue that I think is more problematic is the question of what replaces the customs union. And I think that one of the things that we do need to look at is a technological solution to this problem. I think that that's something that the government of the Republic was also looking at quite favourably. I do detect a certain change of tone since Prime Minister Taoiseach Varadkar came into office. And I think that that's regrettable, but I hope that that will continue to be looked at.
Can you explain to me what you mean by that?
Well, I think that it should be quite possible to ensure that if there are customs arrangements between the UK and the Republic, that they're addressed by technological solutions, by using IT. But of course, the IT...
No, I meant your assessment of the Taoiseach.
Forgive me. I it did seem to me that Taoiseach Kenny was very well disposed towards that. We, of course, had Mr. Varadkar's speech last week, which appeared to rule that out and was speaking in terms of a border that was somewhere in the middle of the Irish Sea, which I think would be impossible to operate. I think that one of the things that we do...
Well, his comments were that because Brexit was a British policy rather than an Irish policy, that, to quote him, it wasn't up to the Irish government to devise a border for Brexiteers. It was down to the British government to come up with its solutions. Was he wrong in that respect, in your view?
Well, I think that we have to understand that the British and Irish economies are very closely intertwined. The fact is that the UK has taken the democratic decision to leave the European Union, and therefore it's a state of affairs that I think has got to be addressed by both governments and, of course, indeed by the EU itself. So I detected a change of tone subsequently in what he said, and I think he may possibly have subsequently regretted adopting such a dogmatic approach to the problem. But, you know, it is an issue. We've taken our democratic decision, and we look forward to a good relationship with the EU, including, of course, our important relationship with the Republic of Ireland.
I may have missed what you were trying to explain there. What do you believe is different in Leo Varadkar's approach to that of his predecessor, Enda Kenny?
Well, the impression I got was that Taoiseach Kenny was a lot more positive about technological solutions to this issue, and that appeared.
How so?
To the extent that discussions were continuing on that basis. I mean, it's been ruled, or at least it appeared to be ruled out completely by Mr. Varadkar last week.
Well, he said that he hadn't.
To be fair,
nobody had come up with any technology solutions for how that border would work. Do you know of any?
Well, yes. I mean, there are, for example, very good technological solutions that work between the United States and Canada, where traffic passes backwards and forwards every day, carrying billions of dollars worth of goods, and the border is seamless and frictionless. And this is the sort of solution that we think that we should be considering.
So we would have similar border posts on the Irish border to those that exist between the US and Canada, yes?
No, we would have different ones because the relationship is different.
And what it's sort different. Of ones?
Well, I mean, that is a matter for discussion.
I'm just curious to know what your technological solutions are for how this would work, because, as I said, the Taoiseach was pointing out that nobody had come up with any yet.
Well, I would suggest that the Taoiseach looks at the relationship between the US and Canada, which provides a very good model. He could also, for example, look at the relationship that there is between Norway and Sweden. But, I mean, frankly, I don't know whether it was just rhetoric, but he appeared to be ruling that out last week. If, in fact, what you're telling me, as you appeared to be doing so, is that the Taoiseach is not ruling that out, then that's a positive thing. But that wasn't the impression that we got on this side of the Irish Sea.
Have you been to the border between Ireland, north and south?
No, I haven't.
So do you can you give me some idea of what you would envisage the future border to look like? I mean, you mentioned border posts between the US and Canada. I'm just curious to know how they would work here.
Well, these are customs rather than border posts, and they're frictionless customs posts. So far as the border arrangements are concerned, as I said earlier, I don't think that there would be any change or should be any change between the current position, because, of course, we have the common travel area that governs relations between the UK and the Republic of Ireland in terms of the travel of people.
Do you believe that the future of the border between the EU and the UK, between Ireland North and South, was properly considered ahead of the Brexit referendum?
I think it was one of a large number of matters that was considered.
Do you think it was properly considered?
I think that, of course, is a matter for the British people.
What
the
do
British
you think?
What do I think personally? I think that it was one of a number of matters that was considered. I think that it's certainly always been regarded by the British government as one of the most important items on the agenda, if not the most important item of the agenda, in respect of our future relations with the European Union. We've got long historic links with the Republic of Ireland, and we don't want to do anything that would cause any problems to those relations.
David Jones, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.